But last week, they taught about disobedience and the negative effects that disobedience has on us. We know that's the case. We know that our disobedience has negative effects on others, those in our life, primarily those closest to us. And it has a negative effect. When we are disobedient, there is a major negative effect on our relationship with God. And because of Jonah's disobedience, it got him in a rather strange and life-ending situation, all right? He was stuck in the belly of a whale. Can you even imagine that? Raise your hand if you like to fish. Like Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop, man, you like fishing. You see, I grew up fishing. I hate hunting. I'd rather watch paint dry than hunt. I get so bored hunting. But fishing, I can always be moving. And I'm good at catching fish, so I catch fish, you know. But I don't like cleaning them. They smell. It's horrible. And can you imagine being in the belly of a whale? I mean, the guts, the stench. And there was Jonah because of a poor decision in the belly of the whale. And today, we're going to talk about the turnaround. Jonah chapter 1 is about Jonah fleeing and running away from God. Jonah chapter 2 talks about Jonah running to God. And the title of today's message is The Turnaround. Everybody say turn. There's got to be a moment in your life where you turn. And for Jonah, it was when he realized he made a mistake. It was in the end of Jonah chapter 1. Go home and read it today. When he's on a ship going to Tarshish, he's going exactly opposite of what God told him to go. And the weather was so bad, the sailors begin to realize that it was Jonah's fault. And Jonah even admitted it. Hey, it's my fault. So he repented and he started following after what the Lord had instructed him to do in the first place. So we pick up in chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, the word of the Lord. Everybody say word. It's very important. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, once again, there are many lessons packed in this short four-chapter Old Testament nugget, all right? Go home and read it. Amazing. Obedience. So many lessons. Next, after Father's Day, we're going to talk about God's love for all people. But what stood out to me was that Jonah was bold enough to intentionally disobey God. I mean, he just bold-faced intentionally. Nope, I ain't doing it. God said, go to Nineveh. Okay, well, where is the exact opposite? Because that's where I'm going. Now, why did he not want to respond to what the Lord says? Well, I believe there was a hatred in his heart towards those people. Why? Because they were Gentiles. They were people that hated the Hebrew people. They were enemies. So God says, Jonah, I'm going to send you to preach a word of repentance to a city that you hate. And more than likely, you probably want them to go to hell in a handbasket. But I love all people, so I'm going to send you to preach repentance to them. And Jonah said, no, maybe he was being a bit racist. Maybe he was thinking about the past. No. They came in. I don't like them Gentiles. They killed some of my friends. Who knows? But for whatever reason, he went the opposite way. What a fool, right? At least that's what I was thinking. You just don't go against the word of the Lord. What a fool, Jonah. Why would you do such a thing? And before I could even get that out of my head, I started thinking, well, you do the same thing too, you idiot. Right? Hey, don't look so holy in here, don't you, all right? we all blow it. We all do things that we know we shouldn't do, that goes against the Lord, that maybe displeases the Lord, but yet we do the exact opposite. We do that, don't we? And because of that, we find ourselves stuck in the belly of a whale. Because of that, we find ourselves stuck in the sin of a poor choice, only to feel a little more empty than we did before. But what also stands out of this part of the story, and I think the lesson that we're going to highlight today, is the fact that God went after Jonah. In his sin, in his intentional disobedience, God gave Jonah a second chance. Come on, you need to say amen right there. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He gave him a second chance. And here was Jonah, I would imagine, in the worst possible situation that you could be in. Think of any other. And this had to be low. I'm talking low. extremely low. I mean, he is seconds from death. In his mind, he's probably thinking, man, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to be found. Imagine the anxiety, the panic inside of him. I'm toast. And I think it's always a temptation to think that our situation is so bad that God can't even salvage it. Maybe Jonah thought that. Man, I've got myself in a tough situation right now. God, you know I want to go to Nineveh, but I'm in a well. Okay, I guess that's all for me. But let me show you what Scripture says. Verse 1 in Jonah chapter 2 says, from inside the fish. Man, this is amazing. Because you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. Amen. He's always looking for his people. From the inside of the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord, his God. Verse 2, he said, in my distress, on the worst day of my life, when I made some poor decisions, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Man, that's exciting to me. Because I know I'm going to make some bad calls in my life. And if I can just figure it out and call on God, I believe he can come in and help me. He says this, from the deep in the realm of the dead. Let me help you understand that. In Hebrew, this is as low as you can get. It's the word Sheol, which means that it's the pit. It's almost as if he's saying, I am so close to hell, my foot is in it, and I smell like it. That's how far down the pathway of sin this man was. I mean, just opposite of what God had in his life. From the deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to me. It's the story of the Bible. God going out of his way to get you and me back when we went out of our way to flee from him. It's the story of the Bible. No matter where you are, please hear this. No matter where you are, how far down that road, how deep in the ocean, in the belly of the well you are, there is still hope. There's still hope. There is still hope. God will step in and bring salvation and bring healing and bring restoration to anything in your life when it seems impossible. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to your poor choices, all right? When God steps in, it doesn't mean that everything will be back the way it was. What it does mean is that God is bigger than any mistake you and I could ever make. I need to hear amen right there. And let me say this, or the mistake that someone else has made against you. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. Let that resonate in your spirit today. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But there's a catch. There's always a catch, right? There's a catch. It requires something of you. It requires, write this down, true repentance. That's what God requires right here. That's what he was asking of Jonah. The call to repentance was screaming loud in the belly of the fish. And for 3 days, and Jonah cries out to God. He repents and he says, all right, God, I'll go to Nineveh. Okay, I'll go to Nineveh. So God calls this fish to spit Jonah out on dry land. Jonah chapter 3, it shows the power of this. How true repentance worked. The wicked people, as Scripture says, the wicked people of Nineveh, they also repented and turned to God. Look at it with me in Jonah 3, verse 10. Then God saw their works. You got to look at this with me. This is very important. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now, when people sin, when we sin, we feel sorry. Oh, whew. I messed up. Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't just stop right there. Godly sorrow leads to true repentance. And that's what happened to the Gentiles right here. Tell me God doesn't love all people. So they saw their works, which means that we've got to do something. We can't just say, whoop, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. There's got to be something attached to it. And it shows it right there. That they turn, there's the word right there. In the Hebrew, that word literally means to turn back to God. Over 600 times it's found in the Old Testament. That word right there. That they turn from their evil way and God relented. Aren't you glad when God relents? Amen? He relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. He didn't do it. So according to Jonah chapter 2 and Jonah chapter 3, repentance, write this down, is a change of mind. It's a change, like I'm having a change of mind, which leads to a change in action. So in your mind, you can say, "Whoo, I'm sorry." But it's got to be followed with a work. It's got to be followed with an action that proves you are really sorry. Come on, somebody's getting this, all right? This is some good biblical teaching that will save you. It will save your life and your family, I'm telling you. So when we repent, we're saying, "God, my way is wrong, your way is right." I want you to write down these three W's, all right? Write down the word will, write down the word way, and I want you to write down the word will, word, and way. So when you repent, you're saying, "God, I submit to your word, God, I submit to your way, and God, I submit to your will." And if you can't do that, then the Bible calls you prideful. And pride does not bode well in the presence of God. Lord, let us all walk in humility. Jonah, in his pride, got him into some serious trouble. But when he humbled himself and submitted his will to God's will, his way to God's way, and submitted to the word of God, things begin to turn around for Jonah. All right? They begin to turn around. So let me give you three key points when it comes to repentance. Write this down. Number one, repentance is the initial act of coming to Christ. It's the initial act. It's the initial act. It's the doorway, if you will. Here's Christianity. We repent, we get saved, and we step into Christianity. That's why we value. In fact, it is the top priority here at Key Point Church, salvation. Every time we do a meeting, a gathering, we give people a chance to meet their Savior, to repent and give their heart to Christ. But in some cases and in some circles and in churches, the word repent is very negative. It's this negative connotation. It's like this very condemning. It seems judgmental when in fact it's the opposite of that. And you can see why the enemy works overboard to make people think that church, you know, that pastor, he just judges people. He's just real condemning. Now, let me stop and say there are some like that, but not here at Key Point Church, all right? This is a condemn-free, judge-free area in here, all right? We all are sinners and we all need God's grace, all right? Now, there's consequences to our sins, all right? But this is not condemning, it's not judgmental. Repent, the word repent is very positive and rewarding. In fact, this word sums up the gospel. It's one of the very first words that Jesus spoke, Mark chapter 1, verse 15. It's his message. He said, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Was Jesus being condemning there? No. Was he being judgmental to all the sinners in the audience? No, but when he said repent and believe the good news, he was inviting people to experience salvation and eternal life. Luke 5, verse 32, Jesus said these words, "I have come to call the righteous." I have not called, well, I messed that up. I'm going to start again. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Sinners. And oh, by the way, let me help you figure this out. We're all sinners, okay? From the moment Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered into the equation, and since then, the day we're born into sin. We're born separated from God. That's why it's paramount that we learn what repentance is. And we all do things that displeases God, right? We all do things that miss the mark, but God is constantly calling us to repent. In fact, I believe right now in this service, someone has missed the mark. You have done something that displeases God. And if you hear his voice, he's saying to you right now, "I want you to come back." He's calling you right now to repent. He's saying, "I want you back. I want you back. I know you're in the belly of that well. I know you've made some poor decisions, but you have not walked too far down that road. You're here, and he's calling you back." In fact, the Holy Spirit is calling you back. Holy Spirit is drawing you right now through Jesus to your heavenly Father. He wants you back. The number two, repentance is a part. It should be a part of our daily walk with God. It starts my Christianity, and it should be something that I do every day in my Christian walk. So here's the question. When I got saved, the summer of 1989, the 4th of July weekend, in my sister's apartment, when I got saved and asked the Lord to forgive me and I repented, did I instantly become a perfect human being? And my wife would say, no. No. My spirit man was made perfect, which means that if I died right then, I'd go to heaven. But I have other parts. I've got a mind and I've got a will and I've got an emotion. I've got emotions. I'm far from perfect. And I began to learn the value of true repentance because I realized that I was far from perfect. And sometimes I didn't need it every day. I needed it every hour. Last week, thank God, this has come to an end. About 2 months ago, we woke up in the middle of the night and Stacy steps out of her bed and she steps in 2 inches of sewer water. Yeah, right, sewer water, all right? We have a problem. Our sewer line was crushed by the fiber optic company that was cutting in cable into our neighborhood. Well, a lot of damage. We had to stay in a hotel for 3 flipping weeks. Look, a hotel for 3 weeks in the Caribbean is nice. But on Sam Walton right here, the Holiday Inn Express, all right? Please follow me, all right? I mean, they even cooked me breakfast every morning. And ladies came in and cleaned my room every day. But I'm telling you, after about 2 weeks of that, I was done. I was done. Wednesday afternoon, Stacy looked at me and she goes, "What's the problem with you?" I'm like, I want to cuss her out. Like, what the heck? What? What's the problem with me? Just smell. This is a Holiday Inn. Smell it. I mean, it smells. Go look at the bathroom. Just don't go there, all right? I'm tired of this. I'm done. I'm done with it. And thank God none of them were, the Holiday Inn people were there because I was livid, all right? And like, look, I'm staying at my house tomorrow. I don't care if I have to sleep on the patio. I'm done with Holiday Inn Express. Now, I said all that to say, I know me, I know I'm far from perfect, and I'm going to blow it, I'm going to miss the mark, which is the New Testament definition of sin. If I miss the mark by saying a lie, or I miss the mark by killing somebody, I miss the mark. Now, of course, killing somebody has more consequences than if I say a lie. But missing the mark is missing the mark. If I lie, I'm still displeasing my God, so therefore I need to repent. Lord, I repent. I did it my way. I did my will, and Lord, I repent. It's got to be a daily act for us, daily. It's got to be hourly. Maybe it needs to be every minute until we get it figured out. Because here's why. If we don't deal with sin, then it begins to pile up on us. Well, we're serving God. Oh, we're in love with God. Oh, God, you're great, you're great, you're great. And all of a sudden, we do something that's sinful, and we displease God, and we step away because sin separates us from God. And if we don't deal with it, Lord, I repent. I believe that's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Lord, I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I did this today. I was displeasing to you. We go to bed. We wake up. No big deal. Then we sin again. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. We're going to sin. Then the next day, we sin again. And that next day, we sin again, and if we don't repent, then we may be 4 or 5 miles away from where we started with God. Then our heart gets cold. I'm just not going to go to church today because they changed service times. It's just inconvenient for me. The air probably won't work today, so I'm just not going, all right? The enemy will just tell you all that junk. Why? Because there's sin in between you and God, and your heart's not where it needs to be. So, Lord, I repent. Thank you for creating me a clean heart. That's the Old Testament. Thank you for letting me do your will and your way. That's the New Testament. Draw me close to you, God. And you see the power of it? I mean, you see how powerful that is? It's not negative. It's incredibly fulfilling to us as Christians. It's the work of repentance. It's this turnaround. Now, here's number 3. It's an act of the will. Repentance is an act of your will. This is where it gets hard. This is where it gets hard for you and I. Because if you have a strong will and think you got to do it your way, you're going to have a tough time right here. I learned long ago in my Christianity that my way is not a better way. God's way is the better way. And that's exactly what Jonah did in the belly of the well. God, I screwed up. That's right, I said it, a Christian cuss word from the pulpit, all right? I screwed up, God. I messed up. I made a huge mistake. I bet he even started saying that before he got off the boat. Oh, Lord, I screwed up. This is all because of me, right? I repent. I repent, God. Forgive me. I own up to my mistakes. I wonder how many marriages right now would be mended if you would own up to your mistake and say, I did wrong. I did some damage. You know, have you ever pulled into a parking lot at a store and kind of clipped the other car? And you look, you're like, no one saw me. Boop. park. I got away with it. No, you didn't. You write out a little note. Hey, sorry, I hit your car. Give me a call. You owned up to it. That's godliness right there. That's what it's all about. That is saying, I will own up to this. Forgive me. And he says, I will go to Nineveh. He had a change of mind, which led to a change of his action. And God calls that uber well to spit him out and bring him in the right direction. Amen. And I'm going to prove it to you. Here's how I can tell that Jonah had his will in God's hands. Because the moment the well spit him out on the beach, he could have went, woohoo, God, you set me free from that. All right, I'm going back on my own way. But no, he went and did what he knew he needed to do. And a lot of people do that. God, if you get me out of this bad situation, I will serve every Sunday morning in Key Point Kids. I promise you, God. I will tithe. If you get me out of this situation, I will. And God gives you a breakthrough. You get out of that situation. Oh, and you forget about that promise you made God. I've seen it over and over and over and over again. But he went to Nineveh. He chose to follow the Lord. Verse 1 in Jonah chapter 3. Now the word, there it is. We're going to submit to his word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. That's his way. All right, God, I'm doing it your way. I don't want to. I'm telling you, I don't like those people. But I'm going to do what you say me, tell me to do. I'm going to do it your way. That great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Here's his will. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. There it is. There's proof. He went to Nineveh according, once again, to the word of the Lord. And as I close, let me give you this one last thought. God will always honor our willingness to turn from sin. He will. Once again, there's consequences to it. And the quicker you turn from it, the less consequences you'll have to pay. But God will honor your heart. He'll honor you when you turn towards him. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive. I'm going to read that again. He is faithful, he is just, and will forgive our sins and purify us. So not only will he forgive you of your sins, but he'll start you on a pathway of getting better so you won't commit that sin again. He'll clean you from all your unrighteousness. And that was not only true for Jonah's case, but hundreds of thousands of people. The Bible says it was over 120,000 people in Nineveh. The result of one man being obedient and following the Lord after he blew it the first time. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, and I believe this is for someone in this room. He is patient with you, and boy, has God been patient with many of us. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Perish, that word means to live eternally separated from God. God didn't want Jonah to live eternally separated from God. From him. God didn't want his people that he made in his own image, the Ninevites, to live eternally separated from him. But he did something about it. Hey, repentance is powerful. And I want to encourage you today to don't ever forget how fruitful and how powerful repentance is. Lord, let us understand the power of true repentance. Why don't you bow your heads with me as we close? Once again, here at Key Point Church, we ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this message? What are you saying to me? What is it that you're saying to me? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe you've done something that was displeasing to God. The question is, are you willing to turn from it and turn to God? Ask for forgiveness. God, help me see my sin as you see it. Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity because I believe there's some people in here and the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you back. I want you back. I want you back. I believe there's some young people in here. The Holy Spirit is saying, I want you back. I want you back. Let's pray this prayer all out. It's a salvation prayer. Another way we can say it, it's a prayer of repentance. Out loud, everybody in this room, I want you to pray this prayer. Say, Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sin. I choose to do your will, go your way, and follow your word. Thank you for hearing me in a very distrustful moment, you won't say, save me in Jesus' name. Keep your head bowed. Keep your eyes closed. I believe somebody in this room gave their heart to Christ. I really do. We pray for it every week. We offer the opportunity for salvation. And because God loves people, the Holy Spirit always draws people to repentance back to Him. And if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something for me right there where you're sitting. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Let me explain what I mean by that. See, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. And we just pray the prayer of confession. But I want you to do one more step for me. I want you to show me that you prayed that prayer and you meant it by raising your hand. It's an outward expression of what just took place on the inside. Come on, raise your hand around the room. Yeah. Come on, don't delay. Just raise it up. Say, that prayer was for me. Yeah, thank you. An entire family right here. Thank you. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thank you. Thank you. Young people raising their hands. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Come on, raise your hands. 5 more seconds before we move on. Okay, thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Wow. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, maybe you're in a situation that seems impossible, and you have convinced yourself even God cannot get you out of this predicament. Well, God's going to turn that. It's got to begin to happen in your heart and in your mind before you see it happen in the natural. And I believe this morning, God's going to start helping people to believe for the impossible. You're in a situation right now, maybe with a marriage. Could be in a financial situation. It could be something that you're dealing with that nobody knows about. Could be thoughts of suicide or anxiety that controls you, fear. And today what the Holy Spirit is saying is He wants you to, in your heart and in your mind, step out in faith and say, God, I believe you can save me out of this pit, this awful pit, this belly of a well. You can save me. If you save Jonah, you can save me. Come on, right there you're sitting. I want you to raise your hands up. If you're in an impossible situation, the Holy Spirit is here and He's going to begin to do a work inside of you that gives you the faith to believe for God results until you see it happen. Come on, raise your hands up. Keep your eyes closed. As I pray, Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, you love Jonah and you don't love him more or any more than you love us, Lord. You are the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if you saved Jonah because of his repentant heart out of that well, you can save me today in my impossible situation. And Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I repent and ask you to help me in any area that maybe I've caused or have just been displeasing to you. And Lord, I thank you. You're faithful that you're going to forgive and you're going to help me in this impossible situation. And God, give us the faith, give us the heart, give us the belief, Father, until we see it happen in the natural. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, Key Point Church, put your hands together this morning for Jesus. Come on, praise Him like you mean it.